Good evening. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast. I'm the host of the show, Brad Rood. Joined alongside my co-host each and every week, Blake Friars. It is time to talk some National Hockey League, and there is plenty to talk about this week, and I think we should start it off with last weekend's Flames-Canucks game. What do you think, Blake?
Yeah, it wasn't a great showing for the old Canucks. Kind of got our ass kicked.
I hate to tell you something. I think the Canucks are really good this year. I do. I think they're a much, much, much improved team.
Yeah.
But now Soucy's out. That's not the end of the world.
That's a big loss. It's a big loss.
I think Calgary exposed something again.
What?
I think they exposed the fact that Calgary was a little more physical that night than they had been in previous games this year. I'm not saying that's why they won. I'm just saying they were a little more physical that night and a little bit more engaged on the forecheck. And I think it helped slow down the effectiveness of Hughes.
Yeah, sure. But also this, the Canucks are on a back-to-back and playing their fourth game in 7 days.
Flames got home at 6 a.m.
Sure. But Vancouver's schedule has been brutal. The fact that Vancouver is 500 in the last six, that's a win for me because they've had to go way out east. Then they went way out east for three. Then they went back to Vancouver for one, and then they go to Calgary, and now they go back home for San Jose. Then they got to go to San Jose. It's like holy fuck, it's insane.
That's what Calgary's been doing too, and it's part of being on the West Coast. And
I know,
you know, you can build in all the excuses you want.
No, I'm not saying they play like shit. They deserve to win. They didn't deserve to win. DeSmith's been great, but he had a couple of goals that he probably should have had. But Huberto had a nice goal. Maybe that gets him kickstarted. I don't know. They need him to get going. Lindholm had a 3-point game that night, so. Calgary's big guys got it going, and Vancouver didn't play very good.
We'll see if it carries over. I want to get your take on the Krissa Thompson comments where she said that she made up. I think this has been the most overblown story.
I think it got blown way out of proportion, but probably not the greatest look for her to admit something like that.
I don't know why you would say that.
It's just like, yeah, like if I don't get comments from the coach, like sometimes I just make shit up. It's like, but probably shouldn't say that, but it definitely got blown proportion. But I got a good chuckle out of it. It was pretty funny.
I was like, you know, and then Catherine Tappan puts out a tweet that says, "Deplorable. I hold myself to the highest standard in everything I do. I know my hardworking colleagues do the same. We're in respect in the hard way." And you know, I get what she's saying, and I get what she's trying to achieve, but like kicking her under the bus isn't going to help make you look better. I don't think it's something that everybody needs to comment on. And I don't know, people probably blackball me for saying this, but it's like, I hate to say it, but a lot of those gals aren't. I mean, looks is a big factor.
Maybe. I'm not going to go down that road with you on this podcast, but let's get to the next topic.
There are some super knowledgeable ones. I know Leah Hexall, walking
a fine line right now.
Leah Hexall gets crucified in the media or in the social media, and I hate that. Do I like her on play-by-play? No, but she is.
She works hard. She's a nice lady.
She is super knowledgeable, and you know what?
I think really knowledgeable.
Reasons why a lot of people don't like her.
The fact that she gets flack because of her last name is pretty brutal.
That's brutal. It's brutal.
It's awful.
And I have a lot of respect for her. Yeah. And do I like her play-by-play? No, I don't. But there's a lot of males that I don't like their play-by-play. I think what it is we become so used to hearing a tone of voice that when we don't hear that tone of voice, whether it's a male or whatever, like I'm not a big Doc Emrick fan.
You didn't like Doc? Well, see, like it kind of depended what kind of fan you were. Like, if you're new to the game, Doc Emrick's your guy because he explained everything down to a T like you're 5 years old. And for some people learning the game, maybe you need to hear that stuff. But if you're diehards like us, we probably we don't need to know what an icing is.
But you know, like Krista Thompson, I think, does a really, really good job. And I think she knows what she's talking about. And I've listened to a lot of her interviews, and I feel like she knows what she's talking about.
Yeah.
But I just, I don't know. It was just so, so, so blown out of proportion. It just, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. Back to hockey talk. Stützle, baseball style goal as a walk-off goal. Gosh, is this guy the most exciting guy in hockey to watch?
What is Reimer doing ducking? Why is he ducking? If he didn't duck, he hits him right in the head. What is he doing?
If you were that good a goalie, you'd be in the NHL, right, buddy?
Yep, that's correct. I got nothing but good things to say about the Global Games in Sweden. I thought they were great. I
still don't like it.
I give you, you can have your opinions on it or not, but it was a rounding success. All the games were packed. They were great games, really good, exciting to watch on TV. The Minnesota Toronto game was really good, unbelievable game.
Horrible television ratings.
Okay, I don't care. It's about what they did in the country. If they went to Sweden and there was a crowd like Arizona, 5,000 people, I'd be like, "Hey, what the hell's going on?" It was packed.
Because Sweden loves hockey, and they're huge. They're great. They have better. They have some of the best players in the league. What I'm saying is, from a fan's perspective, now those teams' fans lost home games.
Yeah, that's true. Just one.
Okay, but when you're
40 of 41, that's okay.
Let me ask you this. Did the season ticket holders get a discount then?
They probably would.
I highly doubt they did.
They might have got some. You never know. You don't know that.
I don't for sure, but I highly doubt that they got a discount this year.
We don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. I pray that this league never has teams overseas, because it will.
That will never happen.
Because if you got to wake up to watch your team play at 5 in the morning, it's
no. But like the Sweden wasn't that bad. It was on in the afternoon. It wasn't that bad.
But did you hear what they were talking about? It, like the Vancouver Canucks game that was at 9 o'clock Central Time on Saturday night.
Yeah,
that's 4:30 in the morning. That's 3:30 in the morning for Sweden.
Yeah.
That doesn't work.
No,
that just doesn't work.
No,
it just doesn't. One thing before we get into some real hockey talk, the heart of the show, but I just wanted to pass this along. Just to cool your jets a little bit. Fastest defenseman in NHL history to 200 assists, Cale Makar. Okay.
The gap's closed, dude. The gap's closed. Should we pull up the NHL standings right now? Quinn Hughes leads everybody in points with 28.
I know.
If you cared.
He won't at the end of the year. Even though I think he's been amazing this year. He's been really, really.
All of the heart talk and whatnot, it's like, you can just stop it. We're in November here. Just relax.
They've been good, though. They've been good.
All I'm saying is the gap's closed. It's closed. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know if it's close, but he's having a real good year. Today on the show, we're going to talk goaltender situation in Edmonton and what is a solution to that. And then we'll talk about top five goalies of all time. We'll go around the league, talk about arrests, Quebec City, Columbus, problems with their stars, 3-on-3, and how does McDavid measure up? All right, the Oilers. We talk about them every single week. I feel like this is an Oilers podcast, but it's not, but it is lately. What are they going to do? We've talked about their defense and how it's been a problem, and it leads to their goaltending issues. But their goaltending still isn't very good.
No.
And Campbell's gone, and now Skinner comes in, and Skinner has been, I don't know, miserable at best. Their goaltenders right now, let me get my glasses so I can read
this. They got Calvin Picard, who's playing right now against Florida. He's allowed 4 goals on 29 shots, and they got Skinner. And they got, you know, they got that young kid in this. They got that young kid down, Olivier Rodriguez. What the hell you got to lose by calling this guy up and seeing what he has?
I don't know, but their goalies rate 68 and 69 out of 74 in the league.
That's not good. It's not good. There's not sure. It's not sugarcoating, but it does start with the defense, but you do need to make saves.
It does. You do. You need to make more than they're making. I agree with you though. And we both said it and agreed last week that defense leads to prime scoring chances, and they just allow way too many prime scoring chances.
Yeah.
So I started to think about this. I'm like, all right, if Edmonton's going to get back in the playoffs, they're going to have to do like they did the year they acquired Dwayne Rollison. I tried to remember the day that happened, and it was
that was 2000. I'm pretty sure it was around January, right? December. It was
the year coming out of the lockout.
No, it was 2006. That's the year they went to the Cup. 06.
Yeah, the year after the lockout.
Yeah.
Right. Because Calgary was in 04. There was nothing in 05, right? And in 06 was Carolina Edmonton, correct?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. So I couldn't remember what month they acquired Dwayne Rollison. I believed it was December. And they eked into the playoffs.
On March 8th, 2006.
It was in It was a deadline deal.
It was a deadline deal. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they Pavel Dimitra. It was Dwayne Rollison for a first round pick that became Pavel Dimitra.
They're going to have to do something like that again.
Oh, they're going to need to do it earlier though.
They're not going to make they're going to have to do it way, way earlier. They're not going to have a chance.
The
playoffs may be slipping away right now.
As the losses pile up, the percentages, and the margin for error just gets smaller and smaller as every loss piles on.
It is. It's getting deeper, and things aren't getting better tonight either. As you just let me know, trade candidates. Who is this team? Who can they go out and get? I know who I think will happen. I think they're going to either get. It's going to be a Montreal. I feel like it's going to either be Allen or Montreal.
No, you know what. Well, they could go down that route, but really, realistically, that's a lateral move. Going from Skinner to Jake Allen or Sam Altman, that's a lateral move. That's not going to help the Oilers. Are you kidding?
Who are they going to get better, though? Who are they going to get better?
You have to swing for the fences here, Brad.
Okay, what? Linus Ullmark? Is that a swing for the fences?
Here's the three goalies I would trade for if I was the Edmonton Oilers, and it's going to cost a lot.
Who's going to throw them a life raft here, or a life preserver, or whatever the hell you want?
My top three candidates for the Oilers would be John Gibson, it would be UC Saros, and it'd be Linus Ullmark. Those are my three. Those would be top three on my list. Okay.
Why would Boston give up? Anaheim is.
Listen, Boston needs center depth. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and a first-round pick for Linus Ullmark.
Edmonton's not giving up Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
Why? Why?
They won't.
They need goalie.
I know, but I don't think they will. I do not think they will.
Listen. This core is in win now mode. You have 2 years left of Draisaitl. You have 3 years left of McDavid. It's go time. There ain't no more taking years off. And if it means that you need to trade Nugent-Hopkins and a couple prospects to go get an elite goalie like Ullmark, you do it. You have to.
I laugh. I see all these mock trades on social media, and I see one today. I see this same one over and over. John Gibson to Edmonton for Evan Bouchard, Jack Campbell, and a first. I'm sorry, they don't want Jack Campbell. And
Jack Campbell's a cap dump, so it's Bouchard to first. It's Bouchard to first. That's steep.
But then steep. Anaheim has to eat. It has to pay Campbell for the next 5 years.
No, three years.
Are you doing that if you're Anaheim? I'm not.
Well, Bouchard to first, that's pretty appealing. No?
Bouchard's not appealing to me. Huge offensive upside, but his defensive liability makes Tyler Myers look like
If you put Bouchard with the right partner, though, he can thrive.
Who? He hasn't thrived yet.
Well, he hasn't been played with a good partner.
Okay, but if you... Okay, I'm not going to disagree with that. But if you...
Nugent Hopkins is the guy that you trade. If you have... I don't care. You might have no choice. You want to miss the playoffs, or do you want to keep? You want to make the playoffs, or you want to keep Nugent Hopkins and miss the playoffs? Because that's the route they're going down right now.
Who do you think there's a better chance of Ullmark, I don't think Boston's getting rid of either one of their goalies. I think they're going to want them and need them down the stretch. I don't think they're going to
get yes, rid of but them. If you get offered a guy who's making $5.125 million for the next 5 years and is coming off a 100-point season, I think you seriously take a look at that and you think,
If Nugent Hopkins is in it, yes, then I would agree with you. I would agree completely then if he's in it. If he's in the talks, I agree.
That's a hockey trade. That's a hockey trade. Boston needs center and Edmonton needs a goalie. That's a perfect match. The perfect match. They need it. I'm not saying he's as good as Bergeron, but he's a responsible two-way center that can take the load off of a guy like Pavel Zacha and Jake DeBrusque and Partois. Like, it would take a lot of heat off those centers.
As far as Anaheim and John Gibson, I feel like if that was going to happen, that
it would have happened a couple of years ago,
right? Am I wrong there? I think we both agree there. UC Soros, Nashville's the most stubborn team in the league. I just don't think they'll trade him.
Yeah. They might not.
I don't think they'll trade him.
I mean, another guy would be like Carter Hart, but I don't know. I wouldn't touch him right now.
I wouldn't touch Carter Hart with a 10-foot pole.
I heard
Jordan Binnington, and I've also heard Jacob Marks.
We talked about that last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago. They've made one trade, and it was in 2009.
So would they trade Nugent Hopkins straight up for Markstrom?
No. Markstrom's too old. Markstrom's too old. Too old.
I don't think that matters right now. Edmonton, you said, has a three-year window.
They do, but...
I mean, that's all they need him for, right?
Would Calgary be comfortable with retaining money?
Sure.
I don't know if they trade in division. I just have a hard time believing that. I don't know.
I think it would help both teams.
It would, for sure. I mean, you then essentially can trade Lindholm.
Which is going to happen anyways, right?
Yeah. I just think that it just makes too much sense with Boston.
I don't think the Calgary...
It's not happening. But like, I honestly think if Edmonton is serious about winning and wanting to make the playoffs, they need to do something. You can't keep going down this road here.
No, I agree. It's went on way too long.
It's went on way too long. And like I said, what do you have to lose right now? Instead of calling up this kid, he's lighting up the AHL. He's lighting up the AHL. Call him up. What do you got to lose? You're 10 points out of a playoff spot.
You know what I think is hilarious though? That Edmonton's going to have to do a panic trade now. They're going to have to, because it's that after tonight that they're going to have to. So every other general manager is just licking his chops going, oh, the tag just went up.
And, oh, I know. Oh,
and
I know.
Every bad goaltending performance, the price tag goes up and up. Yep. And Edmonton's going to have to bite the bullet and do it. They're going to have. But,
like I said, if it costs you Nugent Hopkins to get an elite goalie, then I think it's something you have to seriously look at if you're Ken Holland.
Probably. Speaking of elite goalies, let's get this argument out of the way. Last week, you spouted off during the show to name our top five goalies of all time. I sat down, I did my research, and I've come up with my top five. And it's pretty easy, pretty self-explanatory. And I think we can go from one to five.
What we should have done is we should have went top five from like 1995. Since I've been alive. Because I didn't get to watch any of those guys, man.
I only have one that's old. But I think everybody would agree with it based off his resume is off the charts.
You better not be having like Terry Demme, Sawchuk in here.
No.
He played in 1915, for God's sakes.
No, I don't.
Okay, who's your top goalie?
They're all in my lifetime. Okay. My top goalie, and I don't know how many people would argue this with me, because I honestly do believe he is the best goalie, is Dominic Hasek.
That's who I have as number one, too.
I honestly believe that guy, he took bad teams even and won with them.
Yeah.
That's not fair. No. He didn't take bad teams.
He took teams into good teams.
Yes. That's probably the best way to put it. My number two is my only guy that's older, but it's still in my lifetime. Ooh. Ken Dryden.
See, I'm too old. I'm too young for Ken Dryden.
Six Stanley Cups, five Vezinas. Conn Smythe trophies year after year.
But you see, Vezina to me, hey, but Vezina to me is a team stat.
Here's a stat that really stood out to me. In a time when goaltending was not that great, he had a 0.921 save percentage.
Yeah, that's good.
That's why I put him in this.
My number two is Patty Waugh.
Okay. He's coming up on the list.
Patty Waugh, number two for me. Who's number three?
I got Martin Brodeur as three, and I badmouth Brodeur all the time, but he still got the job done. He was on teams that were super.
He played in a super team off our defense.
He played on a team that was super conducive to defense, right? Just like really, really, really good defense. But
there's another loss for the old Edmonton Oilers.
But he was amazing though in everything that he did win.
Number three for me, I got Patty Waugh or Brodeur too.
Okay, and I got four, I got Patrick Waugh.
Okay.
The reason I had Patrick Waugh below Brodeur is because Patrick Waugh wasn't as consistent.
Ooh.
Year in and year out. Like Brodeur's numbers are just boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
And Patrick Waugh was really good. I mean, holy cow, what he did with that Montreal Canadiens team right away coming in as a rookie. And then all of a sudden he does it in Colorado right when he goes there. And he just, I mean, amazing. It was amazing.
Okay. Number four for me.
I thought you said Brodeur was four for you, right?
No, Brodeur's three.
Okay.
Four? Luongo. Just kidding. Luongo's not on there. Four? Eddie Belfour.
I have Ed Belfour at five.
I got Ed Belfour at four. I'm shocked
that you have him at four.
I love his I just loved his style. He kind of reminded me of like a. He was kind of like a Hasek / Brodeur if they had a baby.
Was he not? I don't even want to hear what you just said. Was he not?
No, I'm just saying like their styles combined. That's Belfour.
Was he not the most? No, somebody would shoot me right away. It's hard to say that when you have Dominic Hasek, right? Because he's like the epitome of exciting, right? But was Belfour not one of the most exciting goalies to watch though?
He was fun to watch. I obviously seen him at the tail end of his career with Toronto.
I watched him play college hockey.
In North Dakota.
Yeah. I had him for a goalie. When I went to hockey camp, he was the goalie coach at my hockey camp as a youth.
Okay, side note here. McDavid looks like he's about to go to the press conference and request a trade out of Edmonton. He looks so mad right now. Holy shit.
So who do you have? Is that all five? Who's your five?
I got Luongo in my top five.
You do not.
I do. He's a top five for me. He's top five.
I pulled up this website that polled Hockey Hall of Fame. I don't know if they're media or what, but there's like 23 guys that rated the top 20 goalies of all top six, excuse me, top 16 goalies of all time. Okay. And not one of them had Luongo in the top five.
Yeah. They don't know hockey then. Listen to this stretch.
And Grant Fear.
Listen to this stretch. 920, 915, 918, 931, 914, 921, 917, 920, 913, 928, 919, 917, 924, 921, 922.
Okay.
And he played on a lot of bad teams. A lot.
And he never won.
It doesn't matter, Brad. It doesn't matter.
But I could put Kaprizov with those same numbers.
Just stop. Kaprizov's not even a Hall of Famer. Just stop.
I'm just saying he has the same number, save percentage.
Listen.
What's the difference, Blake? He has the same save percentage.
Okay, so don't tell me that like Lundqvist and Marc-Andre Fleury and all these guys are better. There's no way. There's no way.
Every one of these guys has Lundqvist rated higher. Marc-Andre Fleury should actually be higher. No. I considered him being
Marc-Andre Fleury's probably 7 for me.
I mean, Chris Osgood has better numbers than Roberto Luongo.
Okay, do you want to go down that route? We can just have the same conversation with Martin Brodeur. Played in front of a really good defense in Detroit all those years.
But he won with it.
The fact that Luongo played on as many bad teams as he did in Florida and in his later days in Vancouver when they were going through a rebuild, and he still put up 920 save and he racked up the wins. Then come on.
So explain to me why nobody else has him then.
Dude, because how many guys from the 70s and 80s are on there?
You're saying hardly any, to be honest with you. Hardly any.
The only name me the top 16.
Well, there's 25 guys here. Do you want me to
name me name somebody 16 for me? I'm just curious.
Okay, I will. I'll give you one of them. Martin Brodeur, 1. Patrick Waugh, Dominic Hasek, Ken Dryden, Bernie Parent, Tony Esposito, Ed Belfour, Grant Fuhr, Marc-Andre Fleury, Billy Smith, Henrik Lundqvist, Curtis Joseph, Carey Price, Jonathan Quick, Roberto Luongo, and Rogie Vachon. You could argue Jonathan Quick over Roberto Luongo.
You are insane.
They've all got him on here.
So everything's based on Stanley Cups now.
No, it's not at all based on that. It's not at all based on that. I'm just saying, like, he's not even in most people's top 16.
It's insane, man. He's one of the best of all time.
Okay, here's the highest. Well, here's one of the highest ones. I'm just trying to go through the whole list. Here's the highest one. Here's the guy that has him the highest. I'll read his 16. Patrick Waugh, Martin Brodeur, Ken Dryden, Grant Fuhr, Tony Esposito, Dominic Hasek, Marc-Andre Fleury, Ed Belfour, a lot of the same names. Roberto Luongo, Billy Smith, Bernie Parent, Curtis Joseph, Chris Osgood, Henrik Lundqvist, Mike Vernon, and Rogie Vachon. This guy had Vernon in there. So I trust him not.
Like, the guy, like, dude, you're naming a bunch of guys that played in the 60s and 70s. How the hell am I gonna Parent and Grant Fuhr, and he's playing the 80s. I didn't get to watch that shit. So how the hell are they gonna be in my top all time? I can't do that.
Even if you get the 90s, I don't think he's a top 5.
If you go from 19, if you go from when I was born in 1998, he is absolutely a top 5.
I think you'd find a lot of people would argue with you that he's not a Hall of Famer.
Oh my God! Enough! His international background, the wins, the shutouts. Come on!
I'm pretty sure me and you could have teamed up for a gold with Team Canada.
Okay, that's not true. The international honestly that's a big deal for Hall of Fame. It's the Hockey Hall of Fame, not the NHL Hall of Fame.
Sure, I know. How many guys from Team Sweden that never played in the NHL do you see in the Hall of Fame?
Oh my God. What a debate, man. Jesus. God damn it.
I think I have family members of yours that agree with me on this
one. This is me and my dad had a 20-minute heated debate on this on the phone. We did.
He's like,
you're wrong. He's maybe top 10, but you're wrong. I'm like,
your dad is right on the money. All right, let's go to sponsors here. Stick Bandits. You need to go check them out. If you've got a hockey team and you are looking to get them outfitted with stickers for their helmets, stickers for their stick, name stickers, water bottles, they got it all at stickbandits.com. Check the link below and get on over to Stick Bandits and get everything that you will need to outfit your youth hockey. All right, let's go around the league here. We got all kinds of things to talk about. And let's start with, start off with some arrests. Milan Lucic, I don't even really know what to say. Saturday night, he lost the respect of a lot of people as he was arrested, charged with domestic violence. I found some more details out on it today. His wife chose to not press charges, but the city of Boston and the state has pressed charges because it was that severe with choking And yeah.
Apparently it's like a 2.5 year prison sentence.
I don't think that'll happen.
No, it's not. I'm saying that in the state of Massachusetts, that's what that is.
Probably, yeah. Well, it could be more than that. I mean, you could consider that attempted murder, could you not? I mean, if you wanted to take it to the top of the line.
I don't know any details. I don't either.
I'm just saying, like,
it's obviously not good. Apparently he was intoxicated and I don't know, but that doesn't give you the right to do that. So,
never lay a hand on a woman. And it's a sad situation. It is a sad situation.
It's not good.
I think it ends his career. Do you agree or disagree?
Depends what happens with this, but yeah, if he gets suspended, probably, yeah, he's 35.
Another arrest. I just want to briefly touch on this because I couldn't believe it. The player that hit Adam Johnson with his skate was arrested by English police. I don't understand. I mean,
we've already went down this road. Like I
don't know how you purposely do that.
I have mixed feelings about it.
You do?
I said on the pod when it happened, it's like, I've never seen somebody deliberately have his skate that high and then kick him again when he hits his throat. I've never seen that before.
I know. The look is bad. Like, I agree.
You put that in slow-mo. It looks awful.
But you know what?
Everything looks bad in slow-mo. I understand. But
I'm looking at it in real speed and I'm thinking, okay, I played the game and you've played the game. Think about that. You have to be going down the ice. That guy has to cut you off exact the same moment and you have to fling through the air. Like, how is that?
For me, though, I've been watching hockey a long time and I've never seen a play like that when you go to hit somebody. He got bumped a little bit, but he didn't get bumped enough for the skate to go 15 feet in the air like that.
But the player was thinking he's going to do a flying leg kick backwards and hit the guy right in the neck. Like, I don't know.
I don't know. It's just so new and nobody's seen it. I don't know, man.
It's just such an odd situation. Reports this week, Kings are going to play 2 preseason games in Quebec City. Is this a prelude to the future? Not that the Kings would move, but other team or what? No.
It's just the NHL probably talked to a bunch of teams and said, hey, like, would you be okay with doing some training camp in Quebec and playing a couple games at there? And the Kings
will do that. I don't think the NHL wants a team in Quebec.
I'm just saying. So you think the Kings went to the Quebec and asked?
You know maybe. What I think happened? You want to know what I think happened?
Maybe. You're a full of conspiracy, so whatever the hell is going on. I think
the group that wants a team in Quebec City, right? There's a group that wants a team, and they've already been, actually, when the Vegas thing went down, Quebec was said that they're still, you know, they haven't lost their bid, and they're still in that status.
Well, they have a facility for it.
So here's what I think happened. I think that group in Quebec City went out to NHL teams and said, hey, we're going to stroke you a check.
Yep.
X amount of dollars for you to play 2 preseason games in our barn so that we can fill that barn, make it a rocking madhouse and show the league what we can do.
Yeah. It's not a bad pitch. I mean,
it's brilliant.
It's not a bad pitch at all. They got the facility for it. They're going to have a ton of exposure, 2 games. And they're going to do training camp there for parts of their camp too. So, it's good exposure. Definitely. I could see that being true for sure.
I think that's what's happening. Columbus, the Columbus Blue Jackets are in disarray here. Johnny Gaudreau has been benched and just not producing at all. Laine gets scratched the other night. They have a rookie coach that's, I don't know. How would you describe that situation?
How many years have we been doing this podcast?
Huh. Well,
is this season seven?
This is season 7, yes.
Do you have the effect that it's like where it goes back in time? You want to go back in time 7 years? Remember that one day? I think it was a brisk night in Minot, North Dakota. We were sitting at the carpet garage And you argued that you were blue in the face that Austin Matthews is not a better goal scorer than Patrick Laine. What is happening with your guy Patrick right now?
I think Patrick Laine could be as good of a goal scorer if he tried. I don't think Patrick would.
There it is.
Will you just let me finish my statement here? I don't think Patrick Laine likes playing hockey. I don't know what the hell Patrick Laine likes about anything in life because I haven't seen him smile in 3 years.
He's living in Columbus. Give him a break.
Oh, give me a break. There's a lot of players that have thrived and been loved at Columbus.
No, I'm just joking. But this guy just like, he got injured or whatever, and I don't know. He's just not the same.
He doesn't look happy. He doesn't like playing hockey. I don't think he likes playing hockey.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't think he likes. But I don't know that Pascal Vincent, this rookie coach, is pressing the right buttons with a lot of their young players or a lot of their players as a whole. I'm interested to see how that all plays out.
Well, did you hear his press conference?
Yeah, he said I can't remember. I know I'm not going to say his exact words, but
he said it's tough. He said it wasn't a hard call to make. I was like, damn. I don't know.
Last week, general managers meetings, they touched on changing 3-on-3 overtime. If they institute a shot clock
I will turn off overtime. I will not watch overtime.
They won't.
What are you going to do? Oh, if a team regroups twice, you blow the whistle and they do a face off, like stop. Is it annoying where it's gotten to? From how exciting it was when it first got into, now it's all about puck possession and tiring the team out and creating 2-on-1s. Yeah, it's different, but like creating a shot clock, this isn't the NBA. This is not the NBA.
No, the over and back thing seems to make a little more sense to me.
Like, what are you going to do though? You're just going to blow the whistle and do a face off? Like, come on.
No, once the other team, once you enter the blue line, you can't exit with it. The other team.
Yeah, okay, so what happens if you do though? What are you going to do? What's the rule? You stop
at the other end.
I can't see it. I don't think the PA will go for that.
The PA doesn't have a say in that rule.
Excuse me?
They don't have a say in that rule.
So you think the NHL can just make up rules without the players' approval? The bullshit.
There's certain things they get a say on, and there's certain things they don't get a say on. In-game rules like hooking, slashing, I don't think they get a say in that at all.
Probably not, but a rule like that, I think the players would have a say.
I don't know. So we're just going to keep living with the boring 3-on-3 overtime where there's no excitement?
It's not like that all the time. Sometimes it's exciting.
I think you expand it to 10 minutes. That forces the third liners to have to play. And that
you
helps.
Don't even need to go 10 minutes. You need to go 7 minutes.
Or how about we just end it in a tie?
No, 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 no. We do not need to go back to 3-2-1. Please, no. Or 2-1-0. No.
Yeah, we need to.
Honestly, just get rid of the loser point, honestly. 2 points for a win, 0 points for a loss.
Coaches will just milk it out and take their chances in the shootout. They will. So it's a coin flip then. It's a coin flip. All right, let's get rolling here. 3 questions.
It's time for 3 questions.
Last week, Blake asked 3 questions. This week, it is my turn. Question number one. How much is Elias Pettersson going to cost the Canucks?
Oh, boy. If you would ask me last year, I would have said 10 plus. And if you ask me now, I think he's probably going to get 12.
I think if he says 13.5, they have to do it.
Yeah. Honestly, you give Pettersson a blank check. I got no choice. He's been unbelievable this year. He's getting better every year. It's been good.
Question number two, is John Klingberg the next LTIR
trip? Whoa, he's already on there. He's already on Robot Island, basically. Like, oh my God. The fact that the Leafs keep getting away with this is a joke.
It's not just the Leafs.
Yeah.
Gabriel Landeskog.
Okay, who started it, though? Who started it? Robot Island.
In Tampa Bay, kind of.
No. This dates back to about 2013 with the old Maple Leafs, with the old Robot Island. So, yeah, apparently he was a healthy scratch. Now he's hurt. Now he's out long term. It's like, oh, my God, man.
What question number, well, when's a player going to stand up to that and the PA going to stand up to that?
Good question.
That's what I want to know. Question number three. If the Edmonton Oilers miss the playoffs, what will they have? What will they do next?
Oilers miss the playoffs, I think. Oh, Matt, that is a loaded question. That is a loaded question because how many years is McDavid just going to just deal with this?
I'm going to throw out something. I'll throw out this. I saw a tweet from Rob Rossi. He said, McDavid is one of the most gifted players in the history of hockey.
Yeah, I agree.
Orr won in Boston. Gretzky won in Edmonton. Lemieux and Crosby won in Pittsburgh. Yzerman won in Detroit. Ovechkin won in Washington. McDavid must win in Edmonton. That's his legacy, and it's on the line.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100% that he has to win in Edmonton for sure. I agree.
Yeah. Listener question, Matthew Gregory asks, should the NHL follow suit with an in-season tournament like the
NBA? No. God, no. No disrespect. What's this guy's name? Mike Gregory? Matthew Gregory. No disrespect. That's just a bad question. I don't know. I just think it's like the colored courts. It looks silly.
I think this is so NBA. I think it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
I agree. That's tough.
It's a truth. All right, hockey fans, next week, another one of my favorite episodes as we take a snapshot of American Thanksgiving standings, and we're going to discuss the changes that we think will happen from now until the end of the season. We'll break down who we think will be able to push to get into a playoff spot, whose time has passed, and we'll take a look at our predictions, see how our predictions are doing at this first playoff marker point of the season. Again, reminder, as we head to the end of November, it is your time of year to help. It's a very important time to talk to friends and family month. It impacts all of us affects all of us in some way, shape, or form. Get on over. The link is in the podcast stuff information below. Help out by donating if possible. Click on that link. It is super, super easy to do. For our American listeners, enjoy your holiday weekend as Thanksgiving is on a Thursday. And we are back with another show dropping next Tuesday. Enjoy this week's hockey action. We're back next Monday night to record for a Tuesday drop. More great hockey talk every week, The Debate Hockey Podcast.
Hockey fans, that was another great episode of The Debate Hockey Podcast with Brad Berute and Blake Friars. Keep it locked on debatehockey.com for podcast updates. Subscribe on all the major podcast players and never miss an episode. Controversial NHL hockey talk every week, presented by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.